all-powerful, almighty, infinite, our great sovereign God. And we come before thy throne, which is called in Scripture a throne of grace, to find grace to help in time of need. And, oh Lord, we who are your people, we are a needy people, Lord. We need you. We need you every second. We need you every hour. We need you all the time, oh Lord. Strengthen us. Give us grace and strength in our time of need, we pray. May you be glorified through the preaching of your word. And again, may our hearts be lifted from the circumstances in our lives and the circumstances in the lives of our loved ones and the circumstances of the world in general. And may we look to thee for this time. May we be strengthened by thee and by thy word. Oh, we pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate the scripture and just increase our faith in thee, oh Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Job chapter 11 here, we're going to read the whole chapter. And we see that Zophar, in these verses, draws a most beautiful and striking contrast between the glory and greatness of God and the vanity and the littleness of man. The glory and the greatness of God and the vanity and littleness of man. And he points to several of the distinguishing attributes of Jehovah, our great God, such as his sovereignty, his perfection, and his incomprehensibleness. Let's look at verse 1. Then answered Zophar and the Naamathite and said, should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom. That is, they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Can thou by searching find out God? What a question. Can thou by searching find out God? Can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Two profound questions right off the bat there. It is as high as heaven. What can thou do? Deeper than hell. What can thou know? The measure thereof longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain man, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thine face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and thou shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it, as waters that pass away. And thine anger shall be clearer than the noonday, and thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape. And their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Today I would like us to consider the infinity of God, which means the fact that God is infinite. The fact that God is infinite, which means that he is unbounded, beloved. He is unbounded. Now we as humans, we are bound by time and space. That's what we're bound to. But our great God is unbound. He's outside of time and space. He's not bound with the same constraints we are. We are bound into this time, and then when we die, we step into eternity. But he's not. He's outside of time and space. He's unbound. And the meaning of the word infinite is also unlimited. Now, he's unlimited in his greatness. He's unlimited in his holiness. He's unlimited in his power. He's unlimited in all things. You can take every one of his attributes and he is unlimited in all those things. All those things. He's infinite. He's infinite. It also means immeasurable. You can't measure who our God is. You can't figure out who our God is. None. No one. And it also means he's unsearchable, which we know man will never know God unless he reveals himself to us. He's unsearchable. You can't find him. You can't find him by your own natural doing. And that's made clear. That's made clear in verse 7 here. Can thou by searching find out God? No, he finds us, beloved. He finds us. And he reveals himself to us. And then it says, can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Well, the answer to these both these questions is no. None of us in our natural state. None of us in our natural state. And this topic of God being infinite is of the utmost importance for the believer to consider. And we should give attention to it. When you consider that the one who has saved us, the one who has saved us, the one who has purposed our salvation, the one who has executed our salvation, and the way of our salvation we know is only through Christ, God himself, God incarnate in the flesh. When you consider that he is the infinite one, that he is not bound by time and space, what comfort it can bring God's people. What comfort it can bring us. He's unsearchable. He's unsearchable. He's immeasurable. And he cannot be found out by man's wisdom. No amount of man's learning can reveal our God. No amount of man's learning can reveal our God. None. He must reveal himself. Man's wisdom can't find him. Science can't find him. No. He must reveal himself. And who does he choose to reveal himself to? His chosen people, called his elect, those whom Christ died for on Calvary's cross. And the revelation of God is according, this revelation of God of himself to his people, think of this, to every one of us who are believers, this revelation of God to his people, right, is by his choosing. Now that brings us real low into the ground, won't it? Because we know he doesn't choose to reveal himself to everybody. But he chooses to reveal himself to every one of his sheep. Everyone. Think of that. This is all according to his will. Otherwise, he cannot be comprehended. Have you ever thought all that you know about God, he's revealed to you? All that you know. Anything you know. See, therefore, we can't boast in anything, can we? Not that we'd want to, but we can't. He's revealed this to us. And there's so many out in this world, friends, family members, who he's not revealed anything to about himself. It's all according to his will. And the little that he reveals to us, the little that we understand, is just a little bit, beloved. It's just a scratch on the surface. Because remember, he's infinite. But the little that he reveals to us, we glory in him, don't we? We glory in him. We give him all the glory and honor and praise for who he is and for what he's done. And how does he reveal himself to us? Through the preaching of the Word of God. Through the preaching of the gospel. That's why it's so important to be under the gospel. And it's the Holy Spirit who does this, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ to us, who reveals God to us. And then after he reveals himself to us, isn't it amazing? We see his handiwork everywhere. Even the beautiful snow. I know snow we sometimes can be a hindrance for us, but think of this. He's showing us who's in control. Okay? Every winter we get a fresh dose of who's in control, don't we? We really do. We really do. Right there before us, God's in full control. Okay? It's incredible. And then we marvel at the beauty of the snow. Think of this. That ground is all dirty and brown and grass, and then it gets covered by that pure white snow. Beloved, he's made us whiter than snow. Oh, what a picture of our redemption right before us. Right before us, beloved. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And so this last cold freeze we had, we who are the people of God, we see his absolute sovereignty, don't we? We saw who's in control. Now, other people, they attribute it to Mother Nature, all these false things. No, we attribute it to our great God. He's in control. He sent it. He sent it. Yeah. And we bow to Him. Oh, He's wonderful. He's sovereign. He's infinite. And He's in full control. Let's look at that verse again in verse 7 there. Can thou by searching find out God? Can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Again, our great God can only be known and understood as He sees fit to reveal Himself to His people. And there is so much for us to learn about our God, beloved. There's so much for us to learn. Oh my. And as the Holy Spirit reveals our great God to us more and more, we realize more and more we're but scratching the surface, as I mentioned earlier. We realize that. He becomes so great in our eyes and we become so small. And then we marvel that He would have mercy on a piece of animated dust like me. Don't we? But He does. He does. It's incredible. Think of the vastness of creation. Think of space and all. They're finding out. They're still looking. It just keeps going. And He has mercy on us, who as Spurgeon said, a little piece of animated dust. Think of how high He is and how small we are. Oh my, it's incredible. It's incredible that the infinite God would have mercy on we who are sinners. But He does. He does. Oh, what a great God. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 11, but keep your finger here in Job chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and we'll read a few verses over here in light of this wonderful verse here in Job, which says, can thou by searching out find out God? Can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? If someone thinks they've arrived or that they can't learn from a gospel preacher or someone proclaiming the gospel, they are in a world of hurt, beloved. They are in a world of hurt. They're in a dreadful place. Because we who are the people of God, we always receive a blessing when the Word of God is preached, don't we? When the Word of God is preached and proclaimed, we always receive a blessing. We always do. We come here to hear about our God. We come here to hear about our Savior. And we rejoice when we hear about Him. Every time it's preached and proclaimed, we want to hear about Christ. It's not the man, remember, it's the message, isn't it? It's not the man, it's the message. Donnie Bell told me that years ago, and that's so true. So true. It's always the message. Look at this in Romans 11, verses 30 and 31. And remember, that gospel preachers, what do we preach? Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. We trumpet that, we blow that trumpet every time we're in the pulpit. Look at this in verse 30 and 32 to 32. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. There was a time when we did not believe God. There was a time when we did not know anything about Him except the things that we had cooked up in our imagination. But He's revealed stuff to us now, hasn't He? He's revealed to us who He is. And we praise His name for it. And we've obtained mercy, beloved. We've obtained mercy. Look at verse 31. Even so have these also now not believe that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. And so that, think of that. Man is in unbelief, right? And He has mercy on all His elect, all His people, all His people. He has mercy upon all His people. But think of this in light of, can thou by searching find out God? No. Can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? And this is speaking, of course, our natural state. No. No. We are foolish to try to put the infinite God in a mold or in a box. Oh, we can't do that. We are foolish to try to chart His unsearchable ways and His designs. Beloved, He does whatever He wills, when He wills, with whomever He wills. That's our God. He is not bound. He's not bound. He's not bound by time and space, and He's not bound by anyone. Right? He does. There's one free will. I remember hearing Grace Preacher say this years ago. There's only one real free will in this universe. You know that, right? And that's God's will. He does whatever he pleases. We're bound by our natures, but he does whatever he pleases. And he's holy. He's holy. So all things he does is right. All things he does is right. Oh, so who can conclude? Who can conclude of their own knowledge that there's one God? Who of his own knowledge found out that this God is three? This one God is three, consisting of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who can tell me of all his perfections and claim that they searched all these out by themselves? Well, the answer is none. None. He must reveal himself to us. He must reveal himself. God is infinite in respect to his being. Think about this. Man's science cannot arrive at the proper conclusions concerning his being in person because in our natural state, we can't comprehend him. You got a bunch of people out there trying to tell other people who God is, and they can't even comprehend who he is because he hadn't revealed himself to them. It's true. But when he reveals himself, oh my, the whole world changes for the believer. Oh, everything changes for the believer. And as we study his word and we hear the word preached, he reveals himself more and more to us. And we just rejoice more and more at his greatness and who he is. Deuteronomy 29:29, the scriptures declare this: the secret things belong unto the Lord. Right? Secret things belong unto the Lord. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God reveals to his elect the things concerning himself. Why? That he might receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Think of this. What did you think of Christ before the Lord saved you? Huh? We called him, maybe called him the Son of God, but we didn't understand what that was. We said he was a human historical figure, but we didn't understand that he is God incarnate in the flesh. We had no idea who he was. But all that we know, he's revealed to us, beloved, that he might get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. All of it. And God is only known by revelation, beloved. And we can only know about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was God incarnate in the flesh, as the Holy Spirit of God reveals him to us. And how does he reveal him to us? Through his word, beloved. Through his word. And you always remember this. You must be born again. You must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, you won't understand anything of the Scriptures. Paul writes of this in Romans chapter 16. Turn there, if you would, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. He writes here, closing the book of Romans, and look what he writes. Look what he writes about our great God, our great infinite God, who's unbound. He's not bound to anyone. He's immeasurable, incomprehensible, outside of him revealed himself to us. Look at this in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you. See, it's God who establishes us in Christ. It's not our doing. These words plainly declare that God is the one who establishes us. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to what? The revelation of the mystery. Christ must be revealed to us. Which was what? Kept secret since the world began. Think of all the nations that just perished in their sins. God just left them in their idolatry. And think of this, you who are the beloved of God. He's had mercy on you. He's had mercy on me. Oh, it's so humble and beloved. It makes us just want to shout, doesn't it? But look at this in verse 26. But now is made manifest. He came into the world. Salvation in and through Christ alone. And by the scriptures and the prophets. Who did the scriptures, who did the prophets declare? Who did the apostles preach the gospel? Where did the apostles preach the gospel from? They didn't have the New Testament. They preached from the Old Testament, beloved. They preached from the law and the prophets. They declared the one who had come in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, yeah, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now look at that. He's made known. We know that God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, right? That's what that's speaking of. That Christ is made known to his people who are in those nations. And notice who's doing all the work. God reveals himself to us. He reveals Christ to us. Otherwise, we're groping around in the dark, beloved. We're groping around in the dark. And then Paul, well, look at this. He was made manifest in the flesh. Look at verse 26. The Holy Spirit of God reveals Christ to his people through how? Again, through the preaching of the word. And note here, by the commandment of the everlasting God. You ever think of that? Your salvation is by the commandment of the everlasting God, the infinite one. That brings us hope, doesn't it? The everlasting gospel, the mystery of the gospel is what? Is made manifest to his people by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of his word. What do we learn? Well, we learn about justification by Christ's righteousness. We learn about the remission of all our sins through his precious blood. We learn about salvation by his sufferings and by his death for us. And it's not made known to everyone, but it's made known to his sheep. Oh, my. Then Paul closes this wonderful epistle with verse 27, and what a proclamation to our great God and King. He says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. He's just praising them. He's just praising our great God, which is what we do. The more we learn about our Lord, the more we learn about our God, the more we praise him. And God must make himself known to us. We know that from the scriptures, and he's far above the wisdom of man, beloved. When God saves you, you learn that God is infinite, that he's unbound, that he's immeasurable, unlimited. He's bound by no one. He does whatever he pleases. And you will learn the wonderful truth of salvation's plan. You have Christ revealed to you, and you proclaim that salvation is of the Lord. It's all of the Lord. Not a man. It's all of grace. There's a great article in the Bulletin this week about God being the cause of first things. That doesn't mean he creates evil. That doesn't mean that he's the author of sin. That doesn't mean that. But everything, beloved, is working out according to his plan and purpose. He is a sovereign, almighty God. Now bring it right home, beloved. He saved me according to his purpose. My, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. God, who is infinite, reveals himself to his people. Sinful man. He does whatever he pleases. And when we think of this fact, when we think of the fact that our God is infinite, when we meditate upon this, it'll help us to understand that God, who is in heaven, is upon the throne and omnipresent and all-powerful, and that he is watching over us, and that he is absolutely infinite. He's not bound by the leaders of this world. He's not bound by time and space. Now we are, aren't we? Yeah. We live in this nation under the laws of this nation, right? We live in one of the freest nations in the world. I would say the freest nation in the world. And it's all according to God's plan and purpose. But he's not bound by the laws like we're bound by. He's outside of time and space, beloved. Oh, my. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 11. And we'll see the fact that God is ever watchful over all things and all people. It's very clearly brought forth in this psalm. The fact that he is upon the throne of the universe, and that he is an absolute ruler over all things, visible and invisible. He is a sovereign king, beloved. And think upon this. He has said to his people, the one who is infinite, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Oh, that just thrills my soul. Does it yours? Look at this in Psalm 11. We'll read verses 1 to 7. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. Look at this. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And remember, this is the infinite one. This is the one who's not bound by anything, time, space, or anybody. Look at this. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Nothing escapes his gaze. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now we go through trials. He tries the righteous. And remember, we're only righteous because of Christ's righteousness. But he tries us, doesn't he? We go through things in this life, and they're real, beloved. They're real. Don't ever downplay something someone's going through. They're real. They're real. Real trials and real pain and real sorrow. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and the horrible tempest. This shall be their portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. Now let us consider this, that God will bring, and it'll bring God's people great comfort, that our God, who is the one true God and who is infinite, is ever watchful over his people. Nothing that we go through escapes his eyes. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Hey, what does the scripture say? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And then in Hebrews 13, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh my. Never. And that never in the Greek is in the triple emphatic. He not, never, not ever, no, not ever. It's in the triple. It's incredible, beloved. And remember, God who is infinite has promised this to his people. My. No matter what trial comes, God will never forsake his people. He is the one who has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And again, this promising God is the infinite one. The infinite one. Do you know that his omnipresence shows his infinity? Shows the fact that he is infinite? Turn, if you would, to Psalm 139. And the testimony of Scriptures brings this forth. Consider how intimately the Lord knows his people. Psalm 139, we'll read verses 1 to 10. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about his sheep. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Nothing escapes the eyes of our Lord. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. When we consider these, when we consider the fact that our God knows us, that the very hairs of our heads are numbered, the New Testament says, these thoughts are too wonderful for us. When we ponder the fact that our great God, who is the infinite one, has had mercy upon us in and through Christ alone, these thoughts are too wonderful for us, aren't they? Oh my. We just marvel. We just marvel. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. We can't by searching find out God. Now we know a little bit of what he reveals to us, and we learn and grow in grace. And he reveals more of himself to us, but it's still just scratching the surface, beloved. Oh my. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Look at that. Look at that verse right there in 10. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. No matter what trial we're going through, no matter what comes our way, the Lord leads us through it, and he holds us and keeps us. That's our God. And the one who's doing that, the one who keeps us, the one who leads us, is the infinite God. The God of all power, the God of all might, the self-existent one. Think of this in light of how God is infinite in respect to time. He's eternal. He cannot be bound down to years, past, present, or future. He always has been and he always will be. He is without beginning or ending, beloved. That's our God. He is the eternal I am. He is spoken of as having eternal power and eternal knowledge and eternal mercy. And we can add all his attributes and perfections to this truth. For these are essential to him. They're part of his nature. There has never been a time when God was without these perfections. And there never will be a time when he shall cease to be. He is the infinite one. God has always existed as the Blessed Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are co-eternal, beloved. They are co-eternal. There has never been a time, nor will there ever be a time, when the Father is without the Son. And the Son without the Spirit, and the Son without the Father and the Spirit, and the Spirit without the Father and the Son. There will never be a time. Scripture declares this of our Father. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting. And it speaks of the Son's eternality. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is a ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. So the Father's everlasting, the Son's everlasting. And then in Hebrews 9:14, the Scripture says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh, beloved. Now, in light of our God being infinite and unbound by anything or anyone, and unlimited in power and might, immeasurable, unsearchable, and not to be comprehended unless he reveals himself to us, let us be encouraged at the thought that all our redemption, all our salvation is in his hands. Us being kept is all in the hands of the infinite one. You see the folly of when people say that a believer can lose their salvation? Because they're not trusting in the infinite one, beloved. They don't know him. But we who know the infinite one, we who have had him revealed to us, we know that salvation's of the Lord, don't we? It's all of his doing. It's all of his doing. And one day, our infinite God, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, will present us faultless before the throne of God with exceeding joy. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your mercy and goodness and grace. Oh Lord, we look at the Scriptures and see that you are the infinite one, and we are humbled. We who are your people are humbled that you've had mercy on us. Oh, what mercy we've received. What grace we've received in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. May you be glorified and magnified through the preaching of your word, through the singing, through all that we do today. May you be glorified, Lord Jesus. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name.